His earliest drawings, dating from 1787, are of conventional scenes. The 12-year-old boy copied or adapted views of bridges and castles from engravings. His first sketches from nature, rather than from art, were taken at Oxford, to which neighbourhood his uncle had retired from the butcher's trade. Yet it also seems likely that in this period, Turner returned to London. There are repeated references to the fact that his father pinned up Turner's sketches in his barber's shop, for sale at prices ranging from 1 shilling to 3 shillings. In this period, William Turner is said to have remarked to one customer, the artist Thomas Stothard, that, "My son is going to be a painter." He may have wanted advice or encouragement from the famous man, but his son had had enough energy and determination of his own. The young Turner also found work at an architect's practice that instilled in him a lifelong interest in and knowledge of that art. He once told a friend that if he could begin life again, he would rather be an architect than a painter. In later life, he even designed one of his own country retreats. So, for a short time, he sketched and painted for Thomas Hardwick, a London architect who was working on the reconstruction of St. Mary the Virgin Church in northeast London, and who was rebuilding part of Zion House in Isleworth. For 4 years, in fact, he was involved in architectural drawing as something of a specialty. Turner's early training instilled in him a deep love and respect for human dwellings. He seems to enter the very stone and structure of the buildings that he represents with pen or brush, as if they had some deep life with which he could commune. In the same period, he studied under another master, Thomas Malton, a perspective draftsman and Covent Garden scene painter. The general impression is of a young artist busily imbibing knowledge and practice from whatever quarter he could find. It may have been Hardwick who recommended that the young Turner should apply to enter the Royal Academy School. There is a story that he approached William Turner and told him that the boy was too clever and too imaginative to be tied down to a severe science. He recommended him to be sent as a student to the Royal Academy. This was the place for aspiring young artists, where Blake and Gilray, Stothard and Rowlandson had already studied. Turner found a sponsor in an academician, John Francis Rigo, who had been shown the drawings exhibited in the barber's shop in Maiden Lane. So the young artist began the first stages of his career drawing as a probationer in the surroundings of Somerset House. He worked in the Antique School, or Plaster Academy, where he was asked to produce a technically exact portrait of an antique figure. His work was deemed acceptable, and he was enrolled as a student. He was a model pupil, if the pun can be allowed, and for the next 2.5 years he worked among plaster casts and broken statuary, where he drew what lay around him, including the body of the faun and the fingers of Apollo. No better training could have been granted to him, since in these early years he learned the significance of line and volume. In the academy, there was no interest in teaching topographical or landscape painting. Turner was later to become the master of sea and sky, and while he was still a student, he began to pursue these passions. Nevertheless, an understanding of how to represent the human figure was an essential step in his training as an artist. He also learned much from the now elderly president of the Royal Academy, Sir Joshua Reynolds. It seems that he was permitted into the great man's house in order to study his portraits. Turner may indeed have had ambitions himself to excel as a portrait painter, but there is little doubt that he was not suited by temperament for such a profession. So perhaps some good demon or angel steered him away from an uncongenial pursuit. In the artist's house in Leicester Fields, Turner would also have seen work by Rubens and Poussin and Rembrandt, their canvases haunting him like a passion. He once declared that he spent the happiest, perhaps, of my days with Reynolds, and in later life, Reynolds was the only English artist that Turner ever discussed. In 1790, he exhibited his first watercolour. He was not quite 15, and yet already he manifests a firm sense of space and perspective. It was his first foray into a medium which he would dominate. The watercolour is of Lambeth Palace, but since the reverend pile is partially obscured by two friendly figures and a public house, it is clear that the young Turner is more interested in the human than the divine world. He was also occupied in less august surroundings, having been hired to assist the scenic artists at the Pantheon, a combined theatre and opera house in Oxford Street. Here, no doubt, he painted stormy seas and threatening skies for whatever melodrama was currently on offer. It was a way of earning badly needed income to finance his more serious studies, but in any case, he seems to have had a natural aptitude for theatrical painting. It must have been something of a disappointment, therefore, when a year after he had been enlisted in the service of the Pantheon, it burnt down. Never at a loss, however, he turned up the next morning at the site of the smoking ruin and proceeded to sketch it. He neglected his figure work at the Academy for 10 days as he worked up his conception. He was always fascinated by fire and by ruins. In this early work, the vigour and energy of his invention are already in evidence. In the following spring, he exhibited his finished watercolour at the Royal Academy under the title The Pantheon, The Morning After the Fire. He would become more inventive with his titles in subsequent years.